ready for a healthier you? It's time for Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B.
Welcome to Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Vallon, chiropractic physician, and with me is my co-host, Brenda B.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our show today. We're so glad you joined us. Happy October, and it's a great month. A lot of great things happening in the store this month. We have some wonderful, wonderful specials going on, so please come by. And if you're not familiar with where we're located, we're actually a store in Palm Harbor on the corner of Alternate 19 and Alderman Road in the Public Shopping Center. So we'd love to see you. We also, if it is lunchtime right now, so don't forget to stop by for those wonderful FitLife foods. We have all of the FitLife foods in the store right now. So those are freshly made several times a week. Very, very healthy choices for lunch. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about inflammation and how damaging it is to the body. Today we have with us...
Well, we have Jolie Root. She is a nutritionist and educator for Carlson Labs. And Jolie is a well-known radio personality, nurse, nutritionist, health educator, and medical journalist.
Wow, that's a lot, Jolie. Thank you for being with us.
You are so welcome.
So now, how long have you been with Carlson?
22 years.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's impressive, I have to say.
It is. It's amazing how fast time goes when you're doing something that you love. And I think about, I'm 30 years in the industry now, and I think about how our industry has grown and how much more mainstream prevention and healthy lifestyle is than it was when I first came into the industry. But Carlson has just been a great home for me. I'm very, very lucky, very blessed to be able to do something that I love.
Oh, that's great. And Carlson's such a good company. I love the company. I love your products. Very, very high quality. If our listeners have not had a chance to check out Carlson, you really should. Today, we're going to concentrate a little bit more on the oils that Carlson offers, as well as the vitamin D, in relation to some very important topics like inflammation and pain. Now, Jolie, I know we have a lot of people coming in our store that have inflammation and pain. And they probably don't, they don't walk in and say, I have inflammation, but they do walk in and say, I have pain,
mm-hmm.
You know, but we know very well that that pain is mostly resulting from inflammation. And 52.5 million adults, you know, have some form of arthritis. Back pain is one of the most common health complaints. 20% of adults over 18 have reported knee pain. And heart disease, of course, is killing over 600,000 people a year. And what do all of these have in common? Chronic inflammation. That's what they have in common. And Jolie, I want you to please explain to us a little bit about the difference between chronic inflammation and acute inflammation.
Well, if we were walking down the sidewalk, we hit a crack in the sidewalk, we stumble and go down on one knee and do a little bit of damage to that knee, and it swells, it's going to start swelling pretty much immediately. That's acute. That's something that is happening in the moment in response to an event that has just transpired. So it's usually a response to an injury. Chronic inflammation is inflammation that persists over time. And inflammation is not entirely bad. If you did bang your knee or scrape your elbow or something, inflammation is part of the body's process of healing. So inflammation is used to bring agents of healing to the site of trauma in order to start the mending process, in order to start knitting everything back together and cleaning out anything that, you know, infectious organisms or dirt or other debris that might have gotten into an injury. So inflammation as part of the healing process is a normal and desirable event. But what happens with chronic inflammation when we talk about people with arthritis, and what a shocking number, isn't that 52.5 million?
Yes, 52.5 million adults in the U.S.
That's just it's incredible unless you think about the American diet over the last 50 or 60 years. But
there you go.
We'll get to that. Chronic inflammation is where probably the inflammation may have been initiated because of some attempt at healing, but the signals to go ahead and end the inflammatory process or resolve the inflammatory process have gone awry, and the body doesn't get the message to, okay, enough already, turn it off. And so the chronic inflammation is something that persists over a long period of time, and it can happen with absence of pain for a long time, Brenda, without people even realizing that anything is going on. Usually these chronic inflammatory conditions generate and are underway in some cases for years before the person really has any sign that anything bad is going on.
It's sometimes called silent inflammation,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. But anybody that's in a lot of pain with arthritis or any other chronic inflammatory condition will tell you it's anything but silent. Once it gets bad enough, it's very painful. But what happened was the diet changed dramatically in the so-called progress in food supply that happened in the 20th century. And part of what happened was the introduction of a lot of fats and oils that were not the typical kinds of fats that Americans evolved eating or that humans evolved eating. And some of the fats were generated in answer to the idea that saturated fats caused heart disease. I think the biggest issue happened back in the 60s when the medical community decided that eating saturated fats was the reason that people's cholesterol was elevating, and cholesterol elevating was the sole reason for heart attacks. And so what we needed to do then to heal that was get off of saturated fats, and what would we eat in their place? Vegetable oil margarines. And it was a tragic miscalculation of the cause of heart disease and also what the answer would be, but it swept into the food stores and into our bodies a tremendous level of fats that are pro-inflammatory. The corn oil, margarine. I remember as a young person, this girl in an Indian costume holding up an ear of corn and saying, maize, the goodness of corn. And it was Mazola, corn oil, and margarine that they were advertising. And corn and soybeans, the other big source of pro-inflammatory fats in the diet, are really much higher in the pro-inflammatory fats, the family of fats that we call omega-6. The fish oils, which is how we end up dealing with this situation, are higher in a family of fats called omega-3. And it's the imbalance between the two that has really been one of the biggest generators of this epidemic of pro-inflammatory conditions that we suffer from.
Right, and that's just one aspect of the diet that can lead. That's one reason why chronic inflammation tends to occur in the body, and that's a big one, of course, with the bad fats in the diet. Now, why is it that chronic inflammation is so bad? I mean, what is it that it actually does in the body long term?
Well, acute inflammation facilitates healing, and chronic inflammation prevents it. So when you have a chronically inflamed joint, for example, the mechanisms that are there to knit that joint back together are prevented from working, and you end up with kind of a constant trauma inside that joint. And if you're talking about joints, that's one thing. If you're talking about blood vessels, that's really kind of scary, and that's what happens in heart disease is inflamed lining of blood vessels allows the penetration of fats and fatty streaks to create plaques that then can rupture and cause heart attack and stroke. So the inflammation, that chronic, unanswered, unresolved inflammation, is the common theme. But tissue damage, tissue destruction, is what the result is.
And I think it's a common theme underlying a lot of conditions in the body.
It is, and we think of heart disease and we think, of course, of joint diseases, but oddly enough, things that happen with kids, allergies, asthma, attention deficit is a pro-inflammatory state. Those kids have higher markers of inflammation. And if you go to the other end of the scale, people with dementia, people with Alzheimer's, those are pro-inflammatory. Those patients also have higher than typical markers of inflammation. When they eat, we can actually measure different inflammatory markers in the blood tests that we do when we go and get a checkup. And we find those elevations of inflammatory markers to be present in conditions that we might never think of as inflammatory conditions, such as dementia or such as attention deficit.
Right. And they're seeing that now that, you know, there's a lot of information out there about the relationship between the gut and that chronic inflammation.
And inflammation in the gut is another way that people are kind of we call them, you know, upward but ill. They're walking around, but they're not particularly well. So we see a lot of ads for heartburn medications, and I see a lot of ads now for probiotics, which is a very good thing because there you have it, the disruption of the beneficial bacteria in the gut set up a pro-inflammatory condition. And then, you know, the thing that we haven't mentioned at all, which is hugely pro-inflammatory, is sugar.
And we'll get into that.
And if you're looking for the Carlson products, you can go to a few places, of course, Gulf Coast Nutrition in Palm Harbor. If you're in the Carrollwood area or Wesley Chapel area, you can go to Nutrition Smart. They have 20% off the Carlson products through October 31st. You can also check out Palma Ciea Village Market and Cafe, and that is off of MacDill in Tampa. They have 20% off Carlson every day. And then Super Value Nutrition, 20% off Carlson every day if you are in the Sarasota area. So in just a minute, we'll be covering more about Carlson with Jolie Root. You're listening to Gulf Coast Nutrition. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B. We have been discussing with Jolie Root, who is a nutritionist and educator, about Carlson Labs products.
And about inflammation and pain. Jolie, thank you again for being with us.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Now, before we went to a little break there, we were talking about the food and the different causes of this chronic inflammation in the body, and we talked about the gut issue, and you mentioned probiotics and how important that is, but you just mentioned before we left about sugar. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, sugar, arguably, I think, is the biggest mistake that we make in our Western diet today, and that is just the rampant consumption. I think we average more than 150 pounds per person, per year of added sugars. And people look horrified when I say that in a lecture and say, there's no way I'm adding that much sugar to my food. But they're not thinking about all of the things that sugar is in as an ingredient. And especially with kids, with soft drinks and sweetened beverages, we do consume just a grossly unhealthy amount of sugar. And sugar throws the balance of everything off. So people tend to gain a little bit of weight, particularly around the middle. That waistline weight gain is associated with high triglyceride levels. Those are fats in the bloodstream that raise when we consume a lot of sugar. And people that have that going on, and, you know, so the apple shape rather than the pear shape, mm-hmm. looking in a mirror, are also groups of people who have higher than typical inflammatory markers. The markers of inflammatory chemistry in their body are higher than normal. They also have a tendency to have higher LDL cholesterol. The consumption of sugar drives the bad cholesterol higher. And they make more free radicals. The oxidative stress in their body mm-hmm. is higher. And all of that combines to drive inflammation. So you get back, you go full circle around, and you still come back to this silent but yet very deadly threat to our health, which is chronic, unanswered, unresolved inflammation directly related to the way that we eat.
And, of course, that's something that we always try to teach people about when they come in the store. You know, I mean, we teach, we try not to preach, but, you know, we do tell them about the diet and what effect it's having on the body and try to, you know, clean up the diet a bit. But other than doing that, let's get into some of the products that Carlson has that can help with this inflammation and reducing the inflammation.
Well, far and away, the most active anti-inflammatory supplement that a person could take is a high-quality fish oil supplement, because the omega-3 fats, the reason people take fish oil, those long-chain omega-3 fats, are anti-inflammatory. They actually exist in balance with the pro-inflammatory fats in the body, and when you raise your intake of omega-3, those omega-3s actually replace the omega-6s in cell structure, in cell membranes, and even inside the cells. And from those omega-3s are even more potent compounds that the body produces using them as building blocks. The names of those tell a story because they're called resolvins.
I was wondering if you were going to mention that. Yes.
And yeah. The resolving part of that name, the where that resolvin name comes from, is we discovered that these compounds that are made from EPA and DHA, which are the active components in fish oil, the compounds are actually the directors of the end of inflammation, the resolution phase of inflammation. So when I said before that sometimes in some people their body just misses the signal to terminate that healing response, it might be because they have very low or even no available EPA and DHA from which to make the resolvins that are the lead signalers to shut off the inflammation event, the inflammation process. So the resolution phase of inflammation is actually an omega-3 dependent function in the body. So aside from just balancing the omega-6s, resolution of inflammation depends on the presence of EPA and DHA. So when people start boosting their levels, marvelous things happen. I was at a conference earlier this year where a doctor of rheumatology was presenting, and he was drawing on about the last 10 to 15 years of information that has linked having higher levels of omega-3 with reducing disease activity in patients that have rheumatoid arthritis. And what they have found is that there's actually a sort of optimal dose, and that dose is 3,000 milligrams of EPA DHA. So there were studies where people tried fish oils, but they only took very low potency
right
doses, like 300 milligrams.
Right. And that's, we're going to talk about that and how to find that concentration, because that is very, very important to get the effect.
Yes. They actually found that when people took a more meaningful dose, in the case of rheumatoid arthritis, 3,700 milligrams, they got twice as many people at that dose go into complete remission of disease activity.
Wow. How many people out there listening right now that have been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis? I mean, a solution right there. It's amazing.
It's remarkable. And what's, to me, very sad is the journals have this information, and if you go to these conferences, a lot of the doctors that are there that are presenting have the information, but also we all run into a lot of people in the medical mainstream that say, oh, yeah, you can take some supplements if you want to. They probably won't hurt you. But these are people that just are not on top of the research. And so what's painful to me is to have somebody that is suffering with chronic pain that thinks, well, you know, the fish oils probably won't work for me, when it's just a matter of getting that dose right. They probably will work for you.
Right. And, you know, I like that you mention all of that, because that's exactly what we talk about on this show, is I like to tell people what they have to take to get the effect, because we want them to get the effect of everything. And I've had the exact same situation with people, Jolie, that, you know, I'll talk to them about fish oils, and they were taking one capsule a day, and that capsule was not even a concentration, you know, to begin with. So they were barely getting anything, and no wonder it didn't work. Now, Jolie, we're going to continue with you shortly, certainly, and get into more of the benefit of the Carlson's fish oils as well as vitamin D. So, listeners, stay with us. And if you are interested in Carlson's products, please visit these stores.
Yes, we have several of them. If you are in the Wesley Chapel area, right on Brusby Downs, you can go to Nutrition Smart and pick up the Carlson products. They are 20% off, as well as going in the Tampa area to the Northdale Mabry Highway store in Carrollwood. Also Nutrition Smart, also same scenario of 20% off. If you're over in the McDill Avenue area, which is actually near the Selman Expressway, the McDill Avenue store of the Palma Sierra Village Health Market and Cafe, they also carry Carlson. And down in the Sarasota area at the Bee Ridge Road store, which is Super Value Nutrition, just west of I-75, you can also pick up the 20% off Carlson there as well. So in just a minute, we'll be right back covering more about Carlson. You're listening to Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B. We have been covering the topic of inflammation and the products that come from Carlson Labs. We've also been discussing with Jolie Root, who is a nutritionist and educator for Carlson, about the topic of inflammation. And she is, of course, a well-known radio personality, nurse, nutritionist, health educator, and medical journalist.
And Jolie, thanks again for being with us.
You are welcome.
And before we went to that little break, you had mentioned a specific milligram in order for fish oils to be effective with pain and inflammation. I think this is really important to repeat. How much people really need to take?
3,000 milligrams of EPA DHA. So when we're talking about chronic pain, and particularly when we're talking about arthritis, the studies are showing that with patients with arthritis, that 3,000 number seems to be the place where the broadest array of them get noticeable reductions in pain. So we know that from intervention studies where we've tried smaller doses and we've tried the bigger doses, and the bigger doses just work better. So that's the problem with the little capsules that only have 300 milligrams, in some cases less, of the EPA and DHA. It's not that there's anything wrong with those. It's just that if you're trying to get to 3,000, you've got to take 10.
Right. And who wants to do that?
Right. Most of the people that I talk to, and a lot of us have been taking supplements for all of our lives, but the idea is not to take more capsules. We joke, you know, let's find a way to take a fewer number of capsules and still get everything done. And so it's knowing what the numbers are that really helps us to accomplish that.
Now, Jolie, what are the benefit of Carlson's liquid fish oil versus a capsule?
Well, the liquid, you're taking a bigger dose. So it's a weights and measures thing. Most fish oil capsules, the size of the capsule itself is such that it holds about 1 gram of oil, about 1,000 milligrams of oil. Of that, you have a smaller amount that is actually the EPA and DHA. Some products are 50% concentrate, so there's 500 EPA DHA. So again, if you're going for that 3,000 number, you got to take six of those. The liquids, when you take a teaspoonful, that's actually 5 grams of oil. So you're getting a bigger dose of EPA and DHA because you're taking a larger volume of oil. So it's easier to get these higher potencies. Carlson has a liquid called the Very Finest Fish Oil, and that actually has 1,300 EPA DHA in a teaspoon. Most people that have got chronic issues going on, like rheumatoid arthritis that's very painful, or let's say it's a heart disease patient that has elevated triglycerides, their target number is 4,000 milligrams. So they would actually just take a tablespoon of that liquid, which, by the way, could be used as an oil in a salad dressing. There are lots of ways to incorporate it into something at mealtime, making it really easy to take. And also the Carlson liquids taste good, so they're not fishy tasting.
That's exactly what I was going to ask, because some people, I mean, when you're telling them you need to take, it's better if you take a liquid fish oil because you do need that higher dosage, they may be a little apprehensive that...
Oh, you can just see their faces.
Right.
They think, my grandmother tried to give me cod liver oil. It was awful, and I'm not doing that.
Now, real quick, please, the differences and the similarities, what's going on with the cod liver oil versus the fish oil? Because so many people come in and ask about that.
Well, cod liver oil is also a source of those two omega-3s, the EPA and DHA. So it's tried and true. The cod liver oil has been a dietary supplement for more than 100 years, and rightly so. But the other benefit is there's also some vitamin A and vitamin D. And in this discussion about inflammation, vitamin D plays a very strong role as an anti-inflammatory as well. But if I'm in a store and I'm talking to a customer and they're saying, I don't know what to do, fish oil or cod liver oil, usually the first question that I ask them is what their family is like during cold and flu season. What are you like in the wintertime? Or when the kids go back to school, is yours a family that somebody picks up a cold and then you all just pass it around and it seem to never be able to shake it? Because if that's who I'm talking to, they probably will be better served with the cod liver oil because the vitamin A and the vitamin D are really potent anti-infectives there. Your vitamin A and vitamin D status tells a story about how likely you are able to resist a respiratory infection. So if it's a family that catches colds quite often, cod liver oil is probably the better choice for them.
And will it have the same amount of the EPA and DHA?
It's close.
The finest?
The cod liver oil has 900 EPA DHA. And it's got another 100 of another omega-3 DPA. And so you actually can get to the 3,000 milligrams, again, with a tablespoon.
Plus, if you're getting the vitamin A and vitamin D, then you're getting
right.
other things in there to work synergistically for inflammation.
Yeah, vitamin D by itself is anti-inflammatory. When you take a look at some of the vitamin D research, talking about those inflammatory markers that can be measured in the blood, things like tumor necrosis factor A and C-reactive protein.
Mm-hmm.
The better your vitamin D status is, the less likely you are to have elevated levels of those inflammatory markers.
And we're finding now, through so many studies that are popping up, that vitamin D deficiency is not uncommon.
It's really the rule rather than the exception to the rule. If you just look across the culture, they do this National Health and Nutrition Examination survey every few years. And in some of those surveys, they're finding 70 and 80% of the people surveyed are deficient in vitamin D. And when I go to medical conferences, when the doctors come up to talk to me, they tell me that they're testing all of their patients, and pretty much to a person, everyone is down in deficiency range. Even here in Florida, where it's sunny and beautiful, and people think, well, I live in a sunshiny place. I should be getting plenty of vitamin D. But a lot of people wear sunscreen, and that blocks the vitamin D. So for one reason or another, yes, the typically people are much lower than they think when they think about their vitamin D.
And what is that level that they should be at when
well,
they're looking at a test?
Well, the beginning of normal is 30 nanograms per milliliter. We measure vitamin D in nanograms per milliliter in the bloodstream, and normal ranges between 30 and 100. And so when I say the majority of people are down in a deficiency range, they're down below 20, which is actually when it comes to heart disease, when it comes to diabetes, when it comes to even issues like osteoporosis, that's a dangerous place to be.
So it's helpful for them to get tested, I would imagine, to see what your vitamin D levels are.
Absolutely.
And you can also get tested to see what your omega levels are in the red blood cells.
Yes. Omega-3 level testing is something that exists now, and it helps us to take a look at the result of our supplementing so that we can see, you know, am I really getting enough to put me up in a range where my risk is reduced significantly? Because that's now measurable. It's quantifiable, which is so nice.
And what's really interesting, Jolie, is we have those tests available at Gulf Coast Nutrition, both the Omega Quant test and the vitamin D test. And it's very easy for people to do.
Well, that's a great service that you provide, because with Omega Quant, Dr. Harris is actually a friend of mine, the fellow that developed that test. And what we don't realize is that most people are down somewhere between 0 and 4% on the omega-3 index. And if you can get to 8% compared to the people that are down at 0 to 4, you are 90% less likely to have a fatal heart attack.
Wow. That's impressive.
It's huge. But again, what is the dose that it takes to get most adults up to 8 or better? If you're a small person, you might be able to get there with 1,000 milligrams of EPA DHA, but Dr. Harris says, no, you know, don't mess with that. Go ahead and go for 2,500 at least on a daily basis. And also, Brenda, 4 months. 4 months of faithful supplementation in order to push those levels up there where you get that massive level of reduced risk. But it's worth it. It's of the things that we can do that will protect our health. I can't think of anything more important than the omega-3 or the vitamin D.
Yes, I have to agree. Jolie, hang on with us. We want to mention to all of our listeners out there that there are some really great deals on Carlson right now for that very finest fish oil and your vitamin D at these following stores.
Sure. At the Nutrition Smart Store, if you're in Carrollwood off of Northdale Mabry, or the Wesley Chapel Nutrition Smart Store, which is off of Brucey Downs, 20% off Carlson through October 31st. The Palmacea Village Health Market, 20% off Carlson every day. That's in South Tampa. And then Super Value Nutrition, which is in Sarasota, has 20% off Carlson every day. Go on into those locations. Tell them you heard us on Gulf Coast Nutrition Radio. They'll get you that 20% off. Also, of course, if you're in the Palm Harbor area or anywhere in Pinellas area, swing on by Gulf Coast Nutrition at the corner of Alderman Road and Alternate 19 in Palm Harbor for those specials as well, which is 20% off this week. And you can also give us a call to find out more information at Gulf Coast Nutrition at 727-754-2900, 727-754-2900. And also you can get those Omega Quant and vitamin D tests at our location as well, and check with Brenda B about her free supplement Tune Up. So we'll be back in just a minute with more on Carlson Labs. You're listening to Gulf Coast Nutrition. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B. We have been speaking with Jolie Root, nutritionist and educator for Carlson Labs.
Yes, we have. And we are Gulf Coast Nutrition Radio with a store of the same name, Gulf Coast Nutrition in Palm Harbor at the corner of Alternate 19 and Alderman Road. Come on by. We'd love to see you. Jolie, thank you again so much for being with us. You've been giving us some great information. We were just talking about the Omega Quant test and the vitamin D and how important it is really to get yourself tested, because how else do you know? And if, especially if you're working on something like heart disease or rheumatoid arthritis, it's very important to know that level so you know at what level you need to raise it if you're not getting the right dosage.
I also think that once we become aware of how important something like vitamin D is, or knowing about omega-3, it's a great motivating factor to get measured and realize where you are. It's either you can pat yourself on the back and say, wow, this is great. I'm clearly taking enough and I'm going to stick with it. Or you can take a look at the test and you can say, oh, I need to get to work. You know, I need to, maybe I need to push this a little bit harder because I really want those benefits. And one way or the other, again, it's measurable. So it's not just that we're doing something on faith, per se. There, you know, it's quantified now, the benefit.
Right. And, you know, that's exactly what I did. I was taking fish oils, and I was taking probably 2,000 milligrams. And I have a risk for cardiovascular disease, for stroke, just genetically. And when I got tested, I could see I really needed to raise that up because I was not getting enough.
Mm-hmm.
And now I take anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000 milligrams a day. So,
have you noticed a difference in any structural, as far as your body's concerned, any little soreness that vanished or any
yes.
changes?
Yes, I do. I notice a change when I'm real consistent with my oils in my shoulder. I have a problem, a little bit of problem with my left shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and I do notice that I don't have as much of a problem with that.
See.
So certainly, I do see a difference, and I feel a difference, too. I feel a difference in the way that I think as well. You know, my clarity, I just, you know, of course, omega oils are so good for the brain.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about inflammation and pain, but they're so good for so many other situations in the body. So I noticed that as well. I really enjoy taking enough oils, and I've taken the very finest liquid oil as well, and it is very good. I like it a lot. And it is easier than swallowing all those capsules, quite honestly.
Which is your favorite, the orange or the lemon?
I like the lemon.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Yeah. I like the lemon. Now, are all the Carlson fish oils tested, you know, to be free of impurities? Because I know that's a concern for some.
They are. Our founder, Susan Carlson, was a pharmacist before she came into this industry. And so she was a very insightful person. And one of the things that she wanted for the products that would wear her name was that they would be able to be used in clinical settings. So when the first Carlson Omega-3 was introduced in 1982, she chose a company, an organization called AOAC International, and they are required by some hospitals and some agencies to be used in order to assure that a product is not contaminated. So that's one, but Carlson actually uses two different third-party testing organizations for the fish oils. We also use the International Fish Oil Standards Program, or IFOS,
mm-hmm.
and you probably have seen that the labels are changing with Carlson, and the new labels actually have the little IFOS symbol on the label. And the thing that's cool about IFOS is you can go and look. They have a website that they maintain, and they show the results of the testing.
Right, so you can go on and look at the, if you buy an oil, you can look and see what that batch tested for.
That's right, exactly.
Yes, I've seen that label. That's great that you do that. Now, are there any limitations on people who can take oils or who can benefit from vitamin D?
I can't think of anyone. We used to be a little concerned about people who have seizure disorders with the omega-3s. The omega-3s increase the cell signaling in the brain. You mentioned it, you know, that you have more clarity or more focus with omega-3s. They actually increase the cell-to-cell communication in the brain, and there was some thought that that might be a problem for people with seizures. But recently there were some studies that showed that actually it's a benefit, that the omega-3s and separately vitamin D should both be considered for people who have epilepsy or seizure disorders because they reduce the frequency of seizures, the number of events that would happen in the course of a day or a week or a month. So that was really pretty much the only caveat. A lot of people think that the fish oils are blood thinners and that maybe they should not be taken concurrently with something like aspirin or Coumadin or Plavix or heparin. But there have been some big studies that have found that even when they take the fish oils in relatively high doses, and by that I mean up to as high as 7,000 milligrams of EPA DHA, even during surgical events like bypass surgery or angioplasty, where the patients are also on either heparin or Plavix or aspirin or Coumadin, there was not an increase in adverse bleeding events in people on doses of fish oil. So that's a caveat that a lot of doctors bring up, but the reality is in the trials where they've looked at, and I mean big numbers of people, 100,000 people or more, they have not seen adverse bleeding events with fish oils. So I can't think of anybody that doesn't benefit.
Yeah, that's very interesting because doctors are still telling people to get off their oils previous to surgery.
Yes. When, in fact, they would, especially in heart surgeries, they would get through the surgery better with less of the peripheral damage if they stayed on the oils. But the doctor, you know, it's never our place to override a physician's recommendations. So we, you know, we just sort of grin and bear it when they make mistakes like that. But the reality is people would fare better if they would stay on their fish oils.
Yeah, I would think because blood clotting is a risk after surgery, certainly.
That's right.
And, you know, that can certainly deter the possibility of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why I'm on such a high dose is because I have a higher probability to develop blood clotting.
Yes.
And possibly have a stroke. Last thing I want to happen. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I try to take my oils every day and I'm pretty consistent with it. So I miss once in a while, I have to admit.
Well, the good news is you could make up for it on the next day. This was in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition back in around 2005. You know how a lot of times they'll say, eat fish twice a week?
Right.
And that averages out to a certain amount of EPA and DHA calculated as a daily dose. Well, I was talking to Dr. Harris, the fellow that developed OmegaQuant, and I said, if you can eat fish twice a week, why couldn't we just take our supplements twice a week? And he said, you don't read your journals. You can take your supplement. You could, as long as you get the same number of milligrams. So if you were taking, theoretically, 1,000 milligrams a day, if you took 7,000 and you divided that into maybe a Tuesday and a Saturday dose, you'd still come out at the same place on your omega-3
and that's probably score. Because they store in the fat cells as
right,
well.
And cells.
You don't urinate it out like you do with a little bit excess of B vitamins. Jolie, we're heading towards the end of the show. Thank you so much for being on. We appreciate all the information you have given to our listeners. It's been fabulous. We'd love to have you on again.
All right. It's been an honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
And for everyone out there who'd like to find out more about Carlson products, get that 20% off, you can head over in the Wesley Chapel area on Bruce B. Downs to Nutrition Smart, or in the Carrollwood area on North Dale Mabry to Nutrition Smart, Palma Sierra Village Health Market and Cafe, also 20% off at the McDill Avenue store. And then Super Value Nutrition in Sarasota also has that. And of course,
don't forget about us,
Gulf Coast Nutrition
in Palm Harbor on the corner of Alderman Road and Alternate 19. We as well have a sale going on Carlson oils and vitamin D.
That's right. Or give us a call at 727-754-2900 to find out more. Until next time, I'm Dr. V.
And I'm Brenda B.
And you've been listening to Gulf Coast Nutrition.